We are going through Psalm 119 on the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you have joined us this morning. We're trying to encourage everyone to make sure that God's Word is in your life, not just a casual reading, not just glancing at it, not just paraphrasing it or hearing sound bites from it from time to time, but reading it, understanding it, obeying it, putting it into practice in our lives. And the psalmist in Psalm 119 focuses on God's Word and his love for God's Word and the benefits that it will give a person in their life. And we've come up to Psalm 119 and verse 121. If you would like to turn there, Psalm 119, 121. And we will look at five more stanzas here on the program. Five more letters in the Hebrew alphabet, each verse beginning with a word that begins with the particular letter that is emphasized in this stanza. So today we will look at the Hebrew letters Ayin, Pei, Tsadi, Kof, and Resh. Psalm 119, 121. I have done justice and righteousness. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for thy righteous word. Deal with thy servant according unto thy loving kindness, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for Jehovah to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all the precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. In this particular stanza, I want to emphasize the idea of priority. The psalmist says, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Can you imagine loving God's word above gold? We must value God's commandments and God's word over gold and silver. Proverbs 3:14. God's wisdom is better than fine gold. Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. We've got to have a priority in our lives where God's word is greater than all things in our life. Friends, will we do that? What do you value more in life? And God's word will help us. It will help us in times of oppression. Leave me not to mine oppressors. We have problems and persecutions in life, but God can help us through his word. And we have a hope of gain. We have a hope of gain from God that we can be saved and that we can be made right with God. What a great thought that is, to be saved. Look at verse 123. My eyes fail for thy salvation and for thy righteous word. And that's, notice how that salvation comes by the righteous word. Now, we're going to talk in just a moment about God's part in salvation, but our part is to hear that word and be obedient to that word. Salvation for our soul, that's what a priority of God's word will have in our life, and help with oppressors. He speaks of oppressors in verse 121, and the proud who oppress me in 122. Problems that we can have in life can be helped by God. Putting a priority on God's word will also help us to hate every false way. I hate every false way. Verse 128. It helps us to get our priorities right. When our priority is on the Word of God, then our priorities are right with regard to ethics and morality. What is good and what is bad? What is righteous and what is evil? And we'll also be mindful of the Lord's work and the Lord's judgment day. It is time for Jehovah to work, for they have made void thy law. People who do not follow God's word in their life, God is going to work a work of judgment in their life. So we find, first of all, this morning, this matter of priority. Look at the word love. I love thy commandments above gold. What do you love more in life? Some people love themselves. Paul talks to Timothy, writes to Timothy about those who are lovers of money, 1 Timothy 3. Lovers of self, lovers of money. No lovers of good. They do not love God. What do you love? What's your priority? Friend, can you get God's word at the top of your list? In order to love commandments, God's commandments above gold, we're going to have to, number one, realize what that word is. It's the very word of God. It's inspired. God breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. We're going to have to understand, number two, that it actually will help us and save us. There's some practical good in our life for it. Number three, we're going to have to understand that we can actually understand it. Paul writes in Ephesians 3 and verse 4 that we can understand the message. We can understand the Word of God. So it's the very Word of God. It benefits us for our eternal salvation. Number three, we can understand it. These kinds of concepts help us to realize I need to love God's Word more than anything in my life. So let us be mindful of that very thing. And then the psalmist goes on to write in Psalm 129, the next stanza, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The opening of thy words gives light, and it gives understanding unto the simple. I opened wide my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Establish my footsteps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, so will I observe thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Streams of water run down my eyes, because they observe not thy law." I want to focus on God's mercy, God's grace. This is very important to understand. There's an emphasis in Psalm 119 on the psalmist reading and knowing and learning and understanding and obeying the Word of God, and it brings salvation. But we also need to remember that throughout Psalm 119, we read of God's loving kindness and God's mercy. We cannot be saved without that. Yes, obedience is important, but we also must recognize the need for God's grace and mercy. And so, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. We need God's grace and God's mercy. We need God's face to shine upon us and bless us. We cannot be saved without God's grace. And God's grace is also shown in His Word, and we need to remember that God's Word is good. Verse 129, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." Verse 131, "I opened wide my mouth and panted, I longed for thy commandments," because we understand how good that is for us. Panting as if someone was very hungry or someone was very thirsty. And so, friends, we need God's word in our life, but God's word also tells us about God's grace and God's mercy. He's gracious in giving us light. Your words give light, 130. We talked about that earlier in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. God, through his grace and mercy, wants to guide us and give us a firm footstep as we go through life, spiritually speaking, of course. He brings up oppression again in Psalm 131. God's mercy and grace helps us with oppression. And make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Going back to passages like Numbers chapter 6 and verse 25, God's face shining upon us is God's mercy and grace and blessing and loving kindness. And we cannot live without that. We need to continue to follow the word of God in our lives, and we will continue being the beneficiaries of God's grace. We also need to have the right attitude toward sin. Establish my footsteps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Following God's word will help us to not let sin rule and reign over us. There's so many people in the world where sin has dominated them. Paul writes in Romans 6 and 1 that we're not to continue in sin, that God's grace may abound. No, God forbid. We don't continue doing that. And so we're not going to continue to let iniquity have dominion over me. And the Word of God helps us not to be enslaved to sin. And so what a great thought that without God's grace, we are without hope. We are without guidance. We are without help from oppression. And so we're thankful for the grace of God. In Psalm 119, in the next stanza, verse 65, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Jehovah, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed in thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I observe thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. With my whole heart will I keep thy precepts. Their heart is as fat as grease. I'm reading the wrong verses there. Let's come back to Psalm 137. I apologize. Psalm 137. Reading the wrong verse. Psalm 137. Righteous art thou, O Jehovah, and upright are thy commandments. Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and very faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me, because mine adversaries have forgotten thy word. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that in this next stanza, one of the key themes is that of righteousness. It's mentioned in 137. 138. It's mentioned again twice in 142. God is righteous. His word is righteous. What does that mean? That God is right. There's no sin in him. There's no wrong in him. There's no error in him. There's no evil or bad or wickedness in him. God is righteous. In him is no darkness at all, John says, 1 John 1:5. He's righteous. And of course, his word then is going to be righteous. And if we want to be right in life, it's not by our own standard. It's not by society's standard. It's by following the righteous words of God. That's how we can be right with God. And in the New Testament, that is in the gospel. Paul says that in Romans 1, 16 and 17, that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, meaning when we hear and obey that gospel, we learn how to be right with God. What a great thing that is. God does not just leave us to our own devices and wandering around in life, wondering how to be right. He tells us what is right and how to be right in His Word. Thy law is truth, and it's an everlasting righteousness. It's not just for a brief period of time. Friends, we can be right with God. Sometimes in our society today, people put down this idea of being right. Well, you think you're the only one who's right. Or you think you're right and you put other people down as wrong. You don't have a right to judge other people. You'll hear that kind of thing today. There is a standard of righteousness, and it's not ours. It's God's. And we can attain to it. We can achieve it. We can come up and meet that. It's not a standard of righteousness that is so high that we cannot attain to it. We can. That's the whole point. And He has given us His righteous word. It's pure. It's pure. There's no sin in it. There's no fault in it. It has been tried and tested and pure. And we can come up to the standard of what is right. And it's not us thinking that we're better than others. We're just simply following the right standard of God's Word, and we're trying to get others to do the same. We need to be zealous for God's righteous Word. Psalm 139, my zeal hath consumed me. Why? Because mine adversaries have forgotten thy Word. We need to be eaten up with zeal when people around us don't follow the Bible. That's not funny. It's not cute. It's not humorous. It's not something where it's no big deal. When people don't follow the Word of God, they're not right. And we need to delight. Thy Word is pure, and my servant loves it or delights in it. We need to love the righteous Word, and then we need to humbly obey the righteous Word. The psalmist says, I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. He wasn't going to be proud. He wasn't going to be arrogant. And he realizes that he needs God's righteous Word. So friends, we need to understand how to be right with God. It's not based upon words of wisdom from man. It's not human tradition, human philosophy, human wisdom. And this country needs to be turned around in many ways back to a standard of righteousness. There's another proverb that talks about how that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we need to be exalted and lifted up again rather than going down the spiral of sin and degradation. We need to be lifted back up as a nation and exalted, but it's going to be through righteous principles, not laws of man in Congress, but righteous principles. Our founding fathers appealed to the Word of God in the founding documents. And they said, and early presidents said, that following God's Word is how this country can be right and remain right. We need to get back to that concept in our society, in our country. Look with me at Psalm 145, Psalm 145. I have called with my whole heart, answer me, O Jehovah, I will keep thy statutes. I have called upon thee, save me, and I shall observe thy testimonies. I anticipated the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy words. Mine eyes anticipated the night watches that I might meditate on thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Quicken me, O Jehovah, according to thine ordinances. They draw near that follow after wickedness. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Jehovah, and all thy commandments are truth. Of old have I known from thy testimonies that thou hast founded them forever. Clearly, in this stanza, the theme is prayer, or crying out for help in prayer. I have called, 145. I have called, 146. I have hoped. Hear my voice, 149. This clearly is prayer and crying out for help in prayer. Prayer is important for God's people. Prayer is important to cry out. And Jesus taught his followers how to pray. And they looked to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Prayer has been removed from the lives of many individuals today. We don't need God. We don't believe in God. And it was directed to God. The psalmist said, I cry to you. And number two, he put his heart into it. I cried with my whole heart. This is not the vain repetition of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, but putting our heart into it, not just some memorized statement that we just go through the motions. And prayer was earnest and early. He put a priority on it. He rose up before the dawn, verse 147. And notice in this stanza, I anticipated the dawning of the morning and I cried. And then in the very next verse, in the night watches, I meditated. Morning and night, early morning and late at night. The psalmist here is praying to God and meditating on God's word. What a great way to begin and end each day. Can I offer you a challenge? That God be the first thing on your mind in the morning and the last thing on your mind at night, either prayer or reading His Word. Take that challenge. Take that challenge for a day and then 2 days and then maybe a week. See if you can do it. And build a habit of anticipating the dawning of the morning and crying out in hope, and anticipating the night watches that I might meditate on thy word. When it's quiet, when it's still, when there's no distractions. We live in a world of so much distraction today. But prayer is important. And it should be a part of our life. It should be a part of an obedient life. We've got a psalmist here praying and obeying at the same time. It should be a part of our meditation. It should be a part of us that wants to draw us near to God. And we want to be near God and away from the wicked. In verse 150, they draw near that follow after wickedness. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Jehovah. Are we near to God, or are we far away from God's word? Notice that contrast. Wicked people are far away from God and His word. And verse 152, this is something of old have I known from thy testimonies. This is something that was a part of his life, and it needs to be a part of our life. Well, let's look at the last stanza for today. Psalm 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead thou my cause and redeem me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Jehovah. Quicken me according to thine ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet have I not swerved from thy testimonies. I beheld the treacherous and was grieved, because they observe not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Jehovah, according to thy loving kindness. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endures forever. The theme of this last stanza that I'd like to focus on is the fact that God's word is truth. Like Pilate asked in John 18, what is truth? What is truth? Today, in a postmodern world, truth is anything somebody wants it to be. You hear today your truth and my truth, and everybody has their own truth. Today, it is people try, it's not reality. You can try to say 2 + 2 = 6, but it doesn't. You can try to change truth. You can attempt it. You can say things, but that doesn't actually change truth. But in today's world, people try to make truth subjective. They try to make it sound like everybody can have their own truth. But in reality, there is a truth. It is fixed, and you're not going to be able to change it. And that's the truth of God and His Word. And just saying things doesn't change truth. We're reminded again of the mercies and the grace of God. Great are thy tender mercies. We would not be here without the mercy and grace of God. But God's word is truth. Friends, you need to have that in your life. The sum of God's word is truth. All of it is inspired of God. All of it taken together is the truth of God's word. John 17:17, Jesus said of his Father, thy word is truth, and it's everlasting. It's everlasting, verse 1:16. And salvation comes through that word, 1:55. And we need to obey it. But again, it's not just simply our obedience, but also God's grace and mercy. And that's what provides the plan through Jesus Christ, and we obey the gospel. And one last thing, and that is that truth is not determined by numbers. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, 1:57, but I have not swerved from thy testimonies. And that's so true today. We're surrounded by so many people that don't want the word of God, but it is still truth, and our attitude needs to be, I'm going to obey it. Friends, let's have the word of God in our lives. Let's make it a priority. Let's understand that we need God's grace and mercy. His word is righteous. We can pray to Him and call on Him for help. And His word is truth. Let's have it in our lives today. Friends, if I can help you to obey that truth and become a child of God, let's get together and study. Please contact us, and thank you for joining us today.